Get out of that in January, and I was preaching a lot for a while. And I need God in my life. My wife needs God in her life. We both need God in our life. Now, what does it mean to walk in holiness? It means that no unforsaken sin. It means we're quick to repent of our sins when we sin. And if we're walking in forgiveness with one another and holiness with one another, and get close to one another, and I can stop right here and say, if these two now, pretty much got it. If you have an unconditional love for your mate, you both walk in holiness close to the Lord, then everything else is fine. But I have several more questions on this. As I said, I've been working on this group for 40 years. I'm going to go ahead and do it all. Number three, harmony. Harmony. When conflicts arise, they will refuse. When conflicts arise, and conflicts will arise, refuse to fight. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Now, while you're finding that, I want to say, couples who live in harmony do not separate. Most more separated if you're living in harmony. Couples who walk in harmony, who live in harmony, do not go to the world. But harmony, marital harmony, is not automatic. It doesn't just happen because you sit before a minister of the gospel and said, I do. Marital harmony, it's something you have to work at. Because conflict will arise. And Satan will see to that. He will seek to destroy your marriage. If he can bring you down. Now, if you think conflict is not going to arise, you have an eye, you know the power of the atmosphere. It's not inevitable that we flood the fight. Not at all. But there'll be plenty of occasions to fight. Now, here's what happened to your pastor and him when we were just married 3 years ago. We were both surprised at the intensive conflict. I said the first 8 days were grand and glorious. Day 8 and then on the first up. And it was both the agony and the ecstasy. It was good, and it was good most of the time. It was ordinarily good. We had a lot of conflict. We looked over all manner of things. I mentioned the conflict over the book of Hey, right? And I didn't. We used to argue. I believe it was just two of them. We would argue about what she was going to do when she finished college. So I had 2 full years of college. I mean, it was still 2.5 years away from graduation, and we were arguing about what she was going to do. She said, I'm going to teach you. My father was a teacher, my mother was a teacher. I'm going to teach you, so I'm not going away from my degree. You guys don't work outside the home. My mother didn't work outside the home. You guys don't work outside the home. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. It was a good issue. I mean, we were both good students and a long way away. We argued over the boys. We argued over playing together. I don't know the truth. We pray together and we just pray. I just shut it down. I got homework to do, girl. Don't you know I'm a seminary student? I got to go read the Bible. I felt like just catching up on her quiet time all my time. I resented it. Now, she was more in tune with the Lord than I was. I think the truth was there. Now, you know, it's kind of like our good back now. germinate long enough, and it will develop and grow and grow, and eventually you're going to have a marriage. Now look again in these verses. Look at verses 31 and 32. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. Get rid of it. Instead of being bitter toward your mate, who has wounded you, who has offended you, who has sinned against you, get rid of it. And forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. We have a choice to make. You can be bitter and angry, or you can be forgiving, and you can be free of your bitterness and anger, even if you're angry. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? In other words, does divorce, is there an occasion when God sanctions divorce? And Jesus replied, verse 3, what did Moses command? They said, Moses forbidden a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. Indeed, you can read about that in the book of Deuteronomy. And Jesus says in verse 5, it is because your heart was hard that Moses wrote this. It was not God's sanction. Not that at all. It's God's permission, but not His sanction. Because your hearts are hard, and those who look at His law. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, the man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Divorce is never the same. God permits it. From circumstances, it's never God's perfect will. God does not sanction it. Jesus says, God's plan is one man joins one woman for a lifetime. I've been married too much. Don't ever say that word. Now, I want to clarify. I'm not saying that I had to hop all around the camp and look all around the camp. She didn't want to go. She didn't want to do that. I said that not because I wanted to say marriage, but I didn't have to go to the camp. I was thinking. But I knew that I didn't talk to the pastor. I knew I didn't talk to the pastor. Thank you. regardless of what happens, we're not going to go to a divorce court. We're going to find a way by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, by humbling ourselves before God and before one another, we're going to find a way through repentance and forgiveness and faith for Jesus to heal this marriage relationship. reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and two become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Here's what I want you to see. The oneness of the marriage relationship. Now, in verse 5, the phrase is two become one flesh. In verse 2, it's two no longer two, but one. Now, this is true in the sexual union. You've got to be together to have a sexual union. When I'm talking about togetherness, I'm talking about spending time together. You can't have a sexual union. You can't have a one flesh union unless you're together. You can't do that long distance. You can do that over the internet. Now, if it's true in the sexual union, it is equally true in the union of our soul and our spirit. See, we're not just bodies. We are body, soul, and spirit. That's all from the sexual union. Our soul is our personality. Just if we look different physically, we're different in our personality. And we have the same personality, temple, passion, desire. And then the spirit is actually that part of us where we know God. You know about God in your soul, but you can only know Him in your spirit. So, Christians have an advantage over non-Christians. A non-Christian can know each other body and soulishly, physically and soulishly, but not spiritually. You've got to have a relationship with Christ. What we see here is we're going to be one. And if God's purpose is to make us one, we're not Christ, modeling the relationship between Jesus and the church and the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must spend time together. That means you've got to take time. How a healthy marriage, you've got to be together. You've got to do this kind of thing long distance. You've got to find time. Be intentional about it. It's really hard to do this. It's really hard to do this. Find time for the day and night. Together in the same place is not enough. Number eight, I'm getting closer to this time. Number eight, communication is a pathway of understanding. If you get together and if you're looking at your iPad the whole time, if you're looking at her little cell phone the whole time, or you're looking at the ESPN while she's reading a magazine, stay home. Find some time to communicate, and you've got to find Spirit, and then you've got to communicate. Communication is the pathway to understanding. Look again in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, where there are no longer two but one. How can there be oneness unless there's communication? Now, communication is not easy. I believe the devil gets in the line in our conversation when I say something. They go from my mouth. Foreign to what I was trying to say. Sometimes you realize that. It works good. Sometimes you say, I'm so close. I thought I said one thing here, something different. Now, communication is not simple. But it is simple as just talking and listening and listening and talking. Doing talk and listening and listening. Face-to-face, you get all this media communication. No. That's what people on the side of the world. You communicate to missionaries by email. You communicate to your spouse face-to-face, words, so she can hear, she can hear your voice inflection, see your facial expression. Thank you. husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife should fulfill his marital duty to her husband. Same with you. If you said, I do, you should be afraid to protect me. That's part of God's plan. It's all the way back to God. And not just the procreation, but the building of oneness. That's the fulfillment, the build, the spirit of oneness. The physical dimension will bring you together both soulfully and and if it's sexually fulfilled, you are building a firewall against it. Now that you've been committed, but you're making it very, very unlikely to do it. What I call red hot tomato. When a husband and a wife are sexually fulfilled, they diminish the possibility of committing it. You know, when the most sexually attractive person in the whole world is the person you're married to, the father's going to be miserable. God is so much wiser about these things, too. But it's right here in the book. And so I believe when a man and a woman have red hot monogamy, when they're head over heels in love with each other in this dimension, this physical dimension, and they both love the Lord Jesus Christ, the possibility of them being homeless is crazy. Other things